The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh yeah, welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you the news for the past week. Well, I guess the big news is that right now, as I am recording this, John McCain's funeral is going on, and it's like a star-studded event here. So as you know, John McCain passed away, and we feel saddened any time that somebody dies. John McCain is widely recognized as a war hero, and, you know, he is part of the human tapestry. Part of the reason why I think it's a shame that he's passed on is because he'll never get a chance to apologize or change his ways. John McCain, I think that because someone is no longer with us doesn't mean that we instantly take all their ideas and say, hey, they were right about everything. And I also think that a big thing that happens, you know, when somebody passes on is that we start making them into a saint. You know, I mean, and I think that's because we all want to be remembered fondly. But John McCain did do a lot of things that were against conservatives and against conservatism. And so we should all keep kind of a even perspective on things also. Like any man, he did some great things, and he did some things that that maybe weren't so great also. He's a big proponent of the Iraq War. He did later on say that it was a mistake, and he just said that earlier this year. But at least he came around to it and admitted it, so good for him. I think that had he lived longer, that there are a lot of things that have happened recently that he would have come around to and apologized for. His part in the Trump dossier, his downvote in repealing Obamacare. We still have Obamacare with us because of his sole vote. And again, you know, the man has passed, and so we don't need to dwell on these things, I suppose. Let's move on to things that are happening in the present. McCain did not want Trump at his funeral. So today, the funeral is happening. And even though Trump was not invited to be there, he, in a way, is still there very strongly in spirit, because you've got other presidents now are speaking at McCain's funeral, and Meghan McCain came out with a statement. And it seems to me, and of course, you know, I'm not watching the funeral, but I'm looking at the news stories that are coming out of it. And Meghan McCain, here's the headline: Meghan McCain takes aim at Trump in powerful eulogy for her dad, John McCain, from Nina Golgowski. This is from Huffington Post, although I've seen other articles from other sources saying similar things here. I'll just get to some parts of the article. In an extraordinarily rare moment, the entire cathedral burst into applause as she declared, "The America of John McCain has no need to be made great again, because America was always great." The declaration appeared to be a direct dig at President Donald Trump, who did not attend the service, and his campaign slogan. Trump's daughter Ivanka Trump and her husband Jared Kushner were in attendance. Why would you bother to take a dig at the president? Why would you do? I mean, this is a very this is a man's funeral. This isn't a political event. I know that all the cameras are on you there. And it's not just her. There are several stories that have come out of this funeral already. And It's a shame, really. Isn't it? Here's another article. Here's a headline for it. Obama, Bush, not Trump, give McCain presidential farewell. At John McCain's request, former presidents Barack Obama and George W. Bush are speaking about the senator today at Washington National Cathedral. Trump told to stay away. Then when you look at the actual story, here, let me click through there. McCain tributes echo with criticism of Trump. I can't even take the higher ground and say this isn't what McCain would have wanted, because it actually is. Is that amazing? Even without physically being there, his presence is felt. You know, this kind of stuff has not happened with any other president. So I suppose we really could lay the blame at his feet and say he is dividing the country, right? But I think what's happened more is he's exposed the present day dynamic of the country, maybe even the larger world, which is that we are so polarized. You know, when the internet started to become popular, I thought, this is great. Now people are going to be able to instantly connect with each other and have conversations. And we're going to find out. I thought the internet was going to bring around this huge revolution in the sense of, you guys ever seen Star Trek? Oh, great, the original series, like great shows, and next gen, and all the Star Treks, I guess. I haven't seen the last two or something. I saw the start of Voyager. Hopefully you guys know what I'm talking about. But anyway, in the Star Trek universe, the futuristic science fiction of Star Trek, human beings are now beyond the point where they're doing petty things like, you know, they're not being racist, or they're not being misogynistic towards each other or whatever. They are now, we have evolved beyond that mentally, right? And it's such a nice place because everybody gets along with each other. And I thought that that's what was going to happen. I thought, you know, once we start communicating with each other, because that's the barrier, right? Communication. I thought once we start communicating with each other, we're going to figure out that we all have the same desires. You know, we all want to feel important. We all want to feel recognized and appreciated. We all want to have nice things. We all want to love somebody and be loved. I thought it was going to be like a real advancement in human mentality. But instead, we find out they're all kind of jerks, right? We all like to pick a side and then just defend it to the death and not consider the other side. And the way that human beings are, I mean, I guess that's just how we are, right? When this country was founded, we didn't have a two-party system, but it came about. I think it's just easier for our minds or something if we just kind of go, okay, well, I believe this, 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 and this. And then that's it. And then you just kind of stay with that position instead of kind of going back and forth. I mean, if you had a leader and the leader says, well, I don't really know which one is correct, you would not probably follow that guy anymore, right? You would be like, come on, man, I'm looking to you to set the example, and you don't even know what you believe. And if he's like, yeah, well, but I'm weighing the consequences here. I'm looking at the pros and cons, yeah? You know, I'm deciding what to do. You'd be like, yeah, but that leader over there already knows what to do. And that seems like the correct option. But the thing is that it's probably the wrong thing. Look, you know, the news comes out, right? And they say Saddam has weapons of mass destruction. He's gassing his own people, right? He's killing his own people. Something needs to happen. We need to do something, right? And the same thing they're saying now in Syria, right? They're saying, oh, he's gassing his own people. And so if you have one person come up there and he says, well, you know, in order to stop it, we have to go and invade somebody else's country And now you're creating a whole bunch of other moral dilemmas. And, you know, what if we went in there and, you know, somebody else took over, or, you know, we don't really know how much it would cost or if it's feasible or what would happen afterwards. And somebody else was like, it's going to cost $3 billion. It's going to last 6 weeks. And we're going to fix everything, right? Everything's going to be fine. Once Saddam is gone, we'll have democratically held elections, and it'll be just like America, right? It'll be great. You go, man, that's the plan I want. That sounds fantastic. And so, you know, it's hard to blame people for wanting the war, because it sounded like a fantastic solution at the time. Human beings like to have definiteness in their life. We like to have definite solutions. I mean, even if the solutions aren't completely, if you really think about them, don't completely make sense. One time, I'm with my girlfriend at the time. She's my ex now, obviously. And I couldn't remember where I parked the car. Okay. And so I say, which way is the car? She says, it's this way. I looked at her face. She seemed so positive. It's like a piece of my brain just locked onto it, and I couldn't argue, right? Part of me said, well, it can't be in that direction. But she seemed so certain of it. I just followed her, right? And then when she was wrong, I'm like, but you said you were so sure it was this way. And she's like, up. She just shrugs her shoulders. Like, I guess I was wrong, right? Didn't even think anything of it. And this is a problem. Well, you know, the war was the wrong thing to do. You know, all those people died and we spent all that money. Oh, guess I was wrong. You know, just shrug your shoulders and that's it. All that time just wiped from memory. And then rinse, wash, repeat, right? Just keep making the same mistake over and over again. So I have a question here, which is that, is it Donald Trump's fault that people are so polarized today? I mean, I guess it's his fault in the sense that he is the figure that people are polarized against. But what is it about him that makes him polarizing? Is it the way that he talks? I mean, that makes a lot, people make a lot of hay over that, right? People will point that out as something, and it is something that's definitely unique. I think it's something that got him elected, and it's something that people do follow. You know, people follow the leader, and Trump is the leader. I mean, once Trump started running, the GOP candidates suddenly started using curse words and strong language and insults that they didn't before. And look at what happened to Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio turned from this like wholesome kid into a schoolyard bully in a debate and on his lectures. Rand Paul, who I like a lot, also started using curse words. So did Jeb Bush. I'm like, my goodness, they really are following this guy. Well, they saw him rise in the polls, and I guess they figured those tactics worked. And I guess they said, this is the new normal. I can be the way I want to be now. But the thing is that it was out of character for them to do that stuff, at least in the public eye. It was different than the way that we had known them, and it did not work. It hurt them way more than it helped them out. But Trump has always been this way. And people do mimic that. So I guess that the discourse in the country, which has become less quote-unquote civilized, I guess you can attribute that partly to him, right? But let's be real. This started happening before he was elected president. Certainly the race stuff happened back when, you know, I think it was NBC News was altering tapes to make it seem like more things were happening than more racism was occurring than actually were. And certainly the news loves to create polarizing stories. It's always been that way. But I feel that this has happened because the establishment. And when I say that, I mean people who have been in power for years and are used to the way that the game is played, saw Donald Trump coming in, and he's really outside of the system. Sure, he would lobby, but he didn't work as part of the machine. And I don't think, especially the way that Trump was talking when he was campaigning, I don't think anybody wanted anybody to gum up the works of normal everyday politics. And so you had the Democrat establishment, of course, go to their old standby of he's a racist, he's a misogynist, he is all things horrible. He'll corrupt your kids. He will, he'll beat women or, whatever they were saying against him, which is documented and voluminous. And you had Republicans doing the same thing. They actually took on Democrat tactics against Donald Trump because they didn't want him there. And I think that those are the groups that made it okay to say whatever the heck you want about Donald Trump and make it okay that you can call him these terrible names and attribute these awful things to him that aren't true. And I believe that they're the ones that have made the discourse the way that it is today. People like Lindsey Graham and, God rest his soul, John McCain. And of course, so many Democrats. And obviously, people like Hillary Clinton, who said, when they go low, we go high, and then basically went on a Trump-bashing tour for the debates against him, and then every waking moment thereafter, pretty much, over everything other than policy. Running ads saying that he was going to corrupt your children. Looking at John McCain's mother over here at his funeral. Oh my goodness, she's 106 years old. She doesn't look a day over 90. She really does look good. That's unbelievable. What's her secret, man? I need her workout routine immediately. She was born. This lady was born in 1912. I read she had an identical sister who lived to be 99. That is crazy, dude. Now, Trump, this is not related in any way, shape, or form. This is another headline here. Trump declares mission accomplished in his bid to make America great again. This is the second time I've seen them attribute the words mission accomplished when Trump has declared success on something. And I think Trump actually used the words mission accomplished himself the first time, which you would think would sabotage him, considering that mission accomplished, that phrase is famous, because George W. Bush had put mission accomplished up on that carrier, I think it was, at like the start of the Iraq War. So that's pretty funny. And we were far from having our mission accomplished, far from it. And so, there's a certain connotation to that phrase of incompetence. To hear Donald Trump tell it this week, things have never been better in America, thanks to him. At a rally in Evansville on Thursday, the president took his latest victory lap, reiterating that the time had already come to update his famous campaign slogan. Our new slogan that we'll be switching to, because we're way ahead of schedule to make America great again, right? It's called Keep America Great. That's what's happening. We're so far ahead of schedule. Yeah, that sounds like him. Declaring that the U.S. now has, quote, the best economy in the history of our country, unquote, Trump assured his Hoosier audience that America was reclaiming our nation's proud manufacturing history. It's never been like this. We've created trillions of dollars in wealth since the election. America is respected again. and the U.S. is now the talk of the world. GDP, now this is in the article, second quarter GDP growth has been revised. Now, normally these numbers are revised downward. This number was revised upward to 4.2%, which is incredible. We'll see what happens for the rest of the year. But at this point, that is amazing. Trump also blasted what he calls the fake news media. And really, I mean, this, is Trump the only one who calls them that now? For various things. And speaking of which, here's a great story. This is from Associated Press. Ex-aide, Trump nodded at suggestion of Putin meeting. That is a headline. I have seen this now at a couple of places also, that Trump nodded with approval at the suggestion of a meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin, according to a court filing that seeks leniency for a former campaign aide who lied to the FBI. Oh, he nodded. Nice. All right, before we wrap things up, I want to get into this story here. So this is from the Huffington Post. An unprecedented bill aimed at bringing gender diversity to corporate boards is heading to California Governor Jerry Brown's desk after a state Senate vote Thursday. If Brown signs it, which, I mean, is Brown actually not going to sign a bill aimed at bringing higher gender diversity to corporate boards? If Brown signs it, the bill, authored by Senators Hannah Beth Jackson and Tony Atkins, would require every publicly held corporation based in California to have at least one woman on its board of directors by the end of 2019. 2019. So in a year, every publicly held corporation based in California have at least one woman on its board of directors. By the end of July 2021, boards with five members would have to have at least two women, and boards with six or more members would be required to have at least three women. Wow, that is a lot of nagging. That is a lot of nagging. I came to the office to get away from this. This is not why I, this is not what I signed up for. Thanks, Jerry Brown. Well, it hasn't gone into law yet, so maybe Jerry Brown will find his stones there and be able to resist that. But his wife will probably talk him into it. Yeah, he'll probably go home and she's like, did you sign the bill yet? Look, I mean, there's nothing... having women on the board is fine. I'm kidding. But what's not cool is having the government tell you that you must make it happen. Jeez. And another part of that statement that I hate is the idea that we're doing this for your own good. You know, companies that have more women on their board are more profitable and productive, according to this study that from the company I've never heard of before. And then that's a justification. You know, we're doing this for your own good. They're not doing it for your own good. They're doing it because they want to appeal to their voter base and they want to look good for them. They don't care about you. They don't care about these companies. So let's see what's going to happen as a result of this. You know it's going to backfire, and you know that it's going to require some other government fix. I mean, I can't figure it out right now, but somehow it'll probably result in less women getting hired or something. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it probably will. Now, let's see. So we'll have a glut of men now who don't have the jobs that they would have had otherwise. We'll have probably... we'll have more demand for women, but I mean, I think personally the probably the reason they're not getting hired for these jobs is because they're not competent or qualified for it. They're probably not the right fit for the companies. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I think that probably if a woman would be profitable for a company to have, that the company would hire them. So we're probably going to get more incompetent people on these companies, and these companies will probably make less money, maybe even go out of business as a result. Maybe they'll have to put more money towards childcare services. But governments and politicians don't know how to run businesses, and they should keep out of it. Guys, I am out of time. Thank you for joining me this week for the How to Kill an Hour radio show.